So let's meditate first. Oh, wait. Let's do a book first. Someone meditate. Go to your breath, tie your mind to your breath. There's no other thing in the world except your breath, just your breath. There's nothing else in the world. Come to that golden room, the room covered with sunlight. Look at the blue of the sky out the window. Look at the mountains across the valley. Back to the golden room and see your heart teacher in front of you. And feel them take your hand and just concentrate on the touch of their hand. You might even close your eyes in your in the golden room. Try to see what kind of problems come up in your meditation. Are you thinking of something else? Maybe something you have to do, someone you have to talk to later? Or are you spacing out? Getting sleepy? Or maybe the object is not that fascinating to you. No more. Try to call up a sense of satisfaction, a willingness to stay there without moving, just the hands touching, and a feeling of well-being, willingness to, happy to stay silent, unmoving, together with your heart teacher. Slowly come back to this room. Open your eyes. I used to sort diamonds in the diamond business. That's what you do. And in a large company, you have long, long tables and many tensor lights. And then you have special paper made in Belgium, so you can toss diamonds on them and they land the right way. And then the chairs have all their legs cut off. So you're up straight, your back is straight, and you've got the eye thing, and you're going like this. And then you might do 1,000 stones an hour, something like that. But they start you on 5, or something like that. They say do 5 stones well, in an hour you're okay. So when you first get there, you just do 5 stones an hour, and your shoulder feels like it's on fire. Because it's up like this all day, and you have horrible pains in your body. And then your body adjusts, and then they take you up to 10 stones an hour, something like that. But there's a big emphasis on you don't go faster until you're perfect. You see what I mean? So you can't go to 10 stones an hour until you do 5 stones an hour without a mistake. And I think you're starting to sense that meditation would be good done that way. So 3 or 4 minutes of really good meditation is better than a half hour of subtle dullness. Subtle dullness is pernicious. It becomes a habit very quickly. And then you get satisfied with it and you never progress. You know? So there's two kinds of people you meet. One says, I tried to meditate and I couldn't. What do you call it? I tried to meditate and I gave up. I quit. And then you find other people, you say, I tried to meditate, but nothing's happening. I meditate every day and nothing's happening. You know, I don't seem to change. And my meditation doesn't seem to change. So there's two categories of people. I think the second category is sadder. You know, I'd rather have given it up than to do it poorly year after year and feel like I'm not getting anywhere. So in the diamond business, they require quality before speed. And if you try to do speed and don't have quality, they fire you. Because that means the person's never gonna, they're gonna keep rushing and making errors that other people have to fix. So they'd rather have somebody slow that does a good job, because then they'll pick up speed and they'll always be good. But if someone's impatient and they keep making errors because they're trying to go too fast, then they just get rid of them because you can't fix those people. You see? So better to do a few minutes of very high quality concentration and then break and do something else for a while, like study the greatest book on emptiness, and then go back and do some more. And you will build up quickly. If it's high quality, it will build up quickly. If it's poor quality, it won't. It won't change. Even the time won't change. Okay, so we're going to do some emptiness stuff. Dona, picking off where we left off. Picking up where we left off. Dona Ketsang Jamyang Munlam Ki Sumba Shin Chukanda Kanlan Dedan Deshe Sersa Dakshi Dangyache Chung Nyambashi Yu Tengne Charong Wadeni Rikbe Gacha Tatu Yin Ching. So there is a lama named Kyetsang. Sometimes it's called Kyetsang. We don't know his dates exactly. Probably 300 years ago. Kyetsang, his name was Jamyang Munlam. And he used to say that whatever object you took in the world, it would have as much gakcha about it as the collection of its parts. So let me talk about that. You have to know there's a distinction. It's called dakshi, dokche, and dakche. And dakshi, dokche, and dakche. So you should I let you talk that much? Yeah, it's probably a good seat, okay? You ready? You can say it, okay? One. Dokche.
Dokche.
Dakche.
Dakshi.
Dokche.
Dakche.
Dakshi.
Dakshi.
So these are the three parts of everything, okay? Dakshi means all the stuff together that you're going to conceptualize in a certain way. So all the parts of the car. As a whole. All the parts of the car assembled together as a whole is the dakshi, meaning the thing you're going to think of as something. Okay? The thing you're going to think of as something. It's the top of the pen and the bottom of the pen and the tube of the pen and the barrel of the pen all put together. But it hasn't been thought of as a pen yet. That's dakshi. Okay? All the parts together before you think of it as a pen. Before your mind forces you to think of it as a pen. Okay, that's dakshi. Dokche, dokche, same verb, different tense, okay? Different, what do you call it? Passivizer, activizer. We don't have it in English. So dokche means the state of mind which synthesizes those parts into a thing. Okay? It's called dokche. Your mind under the influence of your karmic seeds, right? Under the influence of your karmic seeds, your mind organizes those parts and decides it's a certain thing, called a pen or called a chitori. Okay? That's called dokche. Dakche means the result of that process, which is the pen. A pen which has been synthesized out of the parts of a pen. Okay? So pen is the synthesized object, the finished object, which has been synthesized by a mind influenced by its karmic seeds, interpreting a number of parts in a certain way, interpreting collection parts in a certain way, and coming up with a thing, which could have been a chutoy if you'd had different seeds. Okay? So the collection of parts is a kind of neutral. And then the dokche, the doking mind, the mind which is synthesizes a thing out of it, due to the seeds in your own heart, decides to see it as a pen or decides to see it as a chutoy. By the way, that determines your rebirth. There's no such thing as rebirth. There are no dog body factories in Kansas somewhere where they turn out dog bodies with little holes in the back and stuff spirits into them. Okay? It's just that your karmic seeds shift. And you're seeing the same collection of parts as a chutoy. That means you is a dog. Got it? And that's all rebirth is. It's weird. Okay? So it's not that you go anywhere else. And it's not that they put you in any other body. Those are lower interpretations of rebirth. That your soul goes into a new body or something like that. It's not true. Different seeds assert themselves and you say the same collections of parts as different objects. Okay? And that applies to this also. You see these five digits as a paw. They're still the same as they were before. They haven't changed. They were no more a hand than they are now a paw. It was the seeds in your own mind that made you see them as a hand, and now it's the seeds in your own mind that makes you see them as a paw. They don't change. Okay? It's scary. It means rebirth is feasible. Rebirth as a dog is feasible. And it takes the amount of time that it takes the seeds in your mind to reassert themselves, which is about 1/65 of a second. Okay? You can become a dog. You can get hit by a car and become a dog within 1/65 of a second. And because it's coming from your mind. Just new seeds assert themselves and you see a paw instead of a hand. In the same place as the hand was. Okay? And that's how fast it takes to be reborn. Forget this thing about, you know, you have to look for a dog body and you have to go there, and it's all lower school. Okay? Higher school is within 10 seconds after a car accident you can be a dog, because it's just a change in perception. Okay? All right. So, Jamyang Munlam, this lama from 1700s, said, how big is the gakcha with every different thing? It's as big as the collection of its parts. Okay? That's where we started out saying, right? Take all the parts of the pen, take it together, and that's how big the gakcha will be. It will be limited to the edge of that object. So the extent of the gakcha is equal to the extent of all the stuff of the thing put together. Okay. So if you put together a pen and it's 1 inch thick, the gakcha corresponding to that is 1 inch thick. Okay? Like that. The gakcha will always be as big or as little as the thing, as the collection of the parts of the thing are joined together. He's getting into a nice point. Dakshi Gyachi Namashi Tenne Char Ongwa Deni Rigpe Gakcha Tar Tup. That's the ultimate object that we deny with our use of reasoning. Okay? Through reasoning, we decide that that thing doesn't exist. The word ultimate would seem to be a mayinga, which means you can't answer, but it would imply that there are lesser gakchas, which are not the one. There's one non-existent thing that if you cancel it, you can save the world. And there are other lesser wrong ideas that if you cancel them, you just save your emotions or something. Okay? The ultimate gakcha is, it's important to say ultimate gakcha. Okay. Yinqing, dangzin ki mikpe teso shepang dila ser. There's a famous word in Tibetan called mikpe teso, which means, it's really hard to translate. It means maybe you could say the feel of the object. Okay? The feel of the object. With a pen, it would be, with a pen, it would be the feeling that it's coming from the pen. All right? So, that's another name for gakcha. Okay? The feel of the thing. The wrong feel of the thing. Okay? Mikpeteso. Denzinki mikpeteso. Of our tendency to see things as real. Dila ser. Den nang di nama simbar gakcha dendrup sarve gokyu shik surdu yupar ma sungne tsuk tupa dang dendrup che dra chitsam na ume shungne sumbe rikpa mambo shiki jitsam che ko che kyang sik chitsam du sungne denzin na chiyami ne den nang di nama simbar. If we can't identify the wrong feeling we have about a pen, that it's coming from itself, okay? If you can't isolate that feeling and get used to it, okay, which is the gakcha, the feeling that it's coming from its own side. You have it automatically when I lift it up. When I lift it up, you have a feeling that it's coming from itself, okay? If you can isolate that feeling from your perception of the pen exists. The feeling that it's coming from itself, that appearance that is detected by that feeling doesn't exist, okay? At the same moment, with a pen, you're having two feelings are coming up in you. One is that it's a pen. That's okay. That's correct. It is a pen and you can write with it. But mixed in with that feeling like water and milk, as indistinguishable as water and milk, is another feeling that is coming from itself. Okay? And to separate them is our goal. And a lot of people have failed. And then they said pens don't exist. So that's wrong. You can write with a pen. So the sensation or the feeling that it's a writing tool is correct. The concomitant or the feeling that always comes along with that, that it's a pen from its own side, is totally wrong. And what that's believing in is the gakcha. Okay, got it? At the same time, you're always having two subtle perceptions. One, that it's what it is, which is okay. And the other is that it's what it is from its own side. And that's not okay. And to isolate the second one from the first one is a very difficult task. Because you might overdo it and say there's no pens. Or you might underdo it and say it's a pen from its own side. Okay? It's very subtle. Part of your mind is always making a mistake. And part of your mind is okay. It's a pen. Okay? And to separate those two is difficult. Dakshi Chichung, Denzing Insulin. Den Nangi Nguma Simba Gakcha, Denduk Serwe, Goki Shik Soto Yupal, Mu Sungne. Then people come up with this thing called Dendrup. Dendrup means real. Okay? The word Dendrup means real. Then he goes off on this thing about emptiness, literature, terminology. Okay? Emptiness, literature, lingo. For example, real. Or cancel the real. Or self-standing. Or true. Or real. He says, you could start thinking of those terms in self-existent ways themselves. Okay? That's a difficulty. You start throwing around words from Madhyamika. You start throwing around emptiness studied terminology. And then you get used to those words and you don't know what they apply to. You just start like the word self-existent in English. The people throw around the word self-existent a lot. But they've never really taken an object and tried to isolate what it is to think it's self-existent. They just say, don't think of the pen as self-existent. But they don't have a personal experience of what it is to be self-existent. Okay? So he's warning us against getting stuck on the terminology. Okay? And not experiencing what it refers to. Okay? Chitsam la ume shumne sumbe rikam mambo shiki chitsam choko cheka then you'll just be a person who just keeps repeating philosophical terms, Oh, it's not like all the hundreds of Dharma students who keep talking about self-existent, but if you ask them what is self-existent, they can't really describe it. Okay? It's you hold up the pen, and the pen seems to come from its own side. That's self-existent. Okay? So you have to learn to isolate that part of your perception of a pen from the perception that it's a writing instrument, which is correct. Okay? Chitsam is imaging. Denzin la chiang minu. You can throw around words like self-existent, or not real, or no self-nature. What? Anatman, right? You can throw around those terms. But if you can't just hold up a pen and describe it in 2 seconds, then you can't stop the tendency to think it's coming from its own side. Okay? Using terminology like self, not self-existent, or no self, or anatman, and then not being able to describe what it is with a pen in about 2 seconds, is not going to do any damage to your tendency of holding it the wrong way, which is why you live in a world where things don't work, or only work sometimes. As long as you still have that tendency to think that they're working from their own side, you will suffer. And they won't work. And you can't damage that tendency if you keep throwing around words like self-existent
and you can't even describe it with a pen. Okay? With a simple object, you can't describe what it means to be self-existent. Okay? Chiang min nu ching. Gakcha rang bhakti chava mimbar ngao nyambe gakcha sab shik lu che ne te la chepa che ne che nang lu che ki tawa dro. Gakcha rang bhakti chava mimbar. Then if you keep proceeding that way, you won't be able to, you won't come down to the right gakcha. You won't get down to the right gakcha. Mimbar. Ngao nyambe gakcha sab shik lu che ne. You'll start making up new gakchas. You know, you go to a lecture by His Holiness. I've watched thousands of people do that. And the translator is talking self-existent all afternoon. And everyone's nodding, you know. And then they hear the word self-existent, and then they try to imagine what it refers to, right? Or they say no self. I had a terrible moment in, where was it? Palitana, in Gujarat state. It's a holy mountain to the Jains. And I was trying to get funding for ACIP, which is my constant preta movement around the world. And I heard there was this Jain saint. I met a diamond dealer. I said, would you help us? He said, I'll give you $1 million. I said, that's good. And then he said, but. I said, what do you mean, but? He said, my guru has to approve it. I said, well, who's your guru, you know? And he said, this is a Swami Jambudvipa or something. And I said, okay, well, let's call him. And he says, no, you don't understand. He's a wandering Jain saint. He's a Dikambara. He's a naked saint. And he wanders around India with a broom. And so I said, well, how are we going to get his permission? Where is he right now? He says, how do I know? You know? And then I'm like, he says, but every year at the Palitana festival, Jain festival, he's at the top of the mountain. He walks to the top of the mountain barefoot over this gravel, you know, like 10 miles or something. And you can meet him there. You know? So I figure, well, $1 million. I fly to Nalsari, and then I... There's another town. I forget the name of it. Anyway. So then I fly there on this rickety plane. I get out. I take a long car drive. And then I take off my shoes and I walk up this... I almost said a bad word. Mountain. And my feet are bleeding by the time I get to the top. Because you're not allowed to go up the mountain with shoes on. And then I meet Swami Dikambara. You know, and he's like, so I explained the situation to him, you know, and he says, I understand, He says, you know, I have quite an understanding of Buddhist philosophy. He was at 95 or something, you know, and I'm like, okay. And he says, but I can't approve the $1 million. And I said, why? And he says, Nagarjuna. It's all Nagarjuna, you know. And I was like, what's wrong with Nagarjuna? He says, you know as well as I do that Nagarjuna said nothing exists, you know. Like, this was a fight that went on to 1,800 years ago, you know. And he's bringing it up again, you know. No, and it's the same players. I'm the Buddhist and he's the Jain, you know. And I'm like, that's not what Nagarjuna meant, you know. And he said... He said, yes, I've read the text. The Nagarjuna said nothing exists. You know? I said, no, he just said there doesn't exist anything which doesn't come from karma. I just said it that. And then he looks at me and he goes, we can accept that. You know? So I'm like, will you give me $1 million? He says, nope. Let's buy cows and liberate cows. I'll take the $1 million, but we'll buy cows. And we'll liberate Cal. So anyway, why did I bring that up?
Busted.
Dancing Nigde Tese Shepa. Oh yeah, that's where we were. Yeah, so people hear this you were right. People hear self-existent, right? They hear Nagarjuna say self-existent. No self. They hear Nagarjuna say no self. And for 18 centuries. And then, or they're sitting in a talk by His Holiness and they hear no self. And then they start making up this weird gacha in their head, you know? Like cars that aren't cars. Or pens that aren't pens, you know? Or everything's kind of illusory and you could put your hand through it somehow. And, you know, like everything's phantoms or something like that. You know, they start getting really weird gotchas in their mind. Because the word no self makes them think, you know, they think there's no me. No self can apply to things, right? No self means the book is, you should have called it the thing is not itself. That's more correct translation. You know, the book is not itself. And then you have to explain it, right? So what he's talking about here, he says, people hear words, people hear terminology like no self. Then they make up some new kind of gakcha. And then their whole view of these questions becomes also made up. They make up the gakcha. They make up a new gakcha. Like, no car exists. It's some kind of phantasmagorical car that you could put your hand through. Everything's an illusion. And then, based on that misperception, they make up whole new wrong schools of philosophy, you know? And they say, oh, Buddhists don't believe in anything. Or Buddhists don't believe that cars are cars. Or something like that, okay? Listen, Dorna, to put it briefly, Jetsun Losang Chugyen Gi, Jetsun Losang Chugyen. Who's Jetsun Losang Chugyen? You can't answer. Yeah, she said first P, A, Lama. Okay, first Panchen Lama. But his name's not Chugyen, it's Chukigyansen. So anyway, that's an abbreviation. Those of you who are studying Tibetan, they don't call him First Panchen Lama. They call him First Pen or Pen La or something like that. Then you have to know. That means Losang Chukigyansen. He said, he's our hero, right? He's the Dalam writer. He wrote the Lama Chopa that we did last night. That beautiful thing. He's amazing. He's the guy who walked out between two armies that were about to start a, you know, Third Tibetan World War. And talked them out of fighting with each other and paid them off. He arranged for people to pay each side off so they wouldn't fight with each other. So therefore he lived for 92 years, you know, in a world where people lived to 40. Anyway, he said, Rangchak soke la tate nawa chatsa dile shenbe takbe gakche nangso shen me te. Very beautiful, very important thing here, okay? Rangchak means, Dakchak means, Rangne means, here's the first Panchen Lama, maybe the greatest writer in the history of Tibet, greatest poet maybe. And he's saying, all of us schmucks. Like he's throwing himself in with us. Okay? All us guys. Tate nama chaitso dile shenbe taki gakchi. We keep looking for our gakcha, which is something other than the way everything around us is constantly appearing to us in the first place. Got it? We keep looking for our gakcha, which is something different than the way everything around us is appearing to us all the time. Okay? Like we keep trying to find some philosophical gakcha when it's the way that everything is appearing to us all the time. All right? Everything. You don't have to go look for some gakcha. Just look. Because you're doing it all the time. You're always misinterpreting everything. The gakcha is appearing to you every minute of every day with every single stripe on her blouse and every single hair in his head and the building and the world and all the thoughts running through your mind. Everything that appears to you is appearing in the wrong way and you take it that way. Okay, if you want a gakcha, says the first Panchen Lama, I mean, just look at you. just look in front of you. It's there all the time. You don't have to make up some gakcha with some philosophical school. Okay. Soke gyuke shepa tamje marikpe lepa. This is very important. Okay, very, very, very important. What's a sosav kiyawam? It's a non-arya. Okay? Anybody who has not seen emptiness directly. People are always coming up to me, Geshe-la, I think I saw emptiness. Just stop right there. Okay? If you think, you're wrong. Okay? You didn't. They're going to ask me, did I see emptiness directly? You know, and I'm like, if you're asking me, you didn't. Okay? Louis Armstrong, what'd they say? Some guy went up to him and said, what's jazz, Louis Armstrong? He says, man, if you've got to ask, you'll never know. You know? So, it's the same with a direct perception of emptiness. If you think you had one, you didn't. All right? So anyway, anyone who hasn't seen emptiness directly, Soke Gyula, Shepa Tamje, all states of mind of any person who has not seen emptiness directly are lepa, are infected with ignorance all the time. Okay? Every perception you've ever had in your life, if you haven't seen emptiness directly, was tainted, okay, and was wrong, was somehow wrong. Okay, what? Was it wrong about this being a pen? No. Was it wrong about the feeling that the pen was coming from the pen, which always accompanies the perception of the pen? That it was wrong about. Okay, that's gakcha. That's the gakcha. Marikpe lepa means your every perception of a non-arya in the universe is always infected by a mistaken state of mind, okay? Because there's always this feeling that the thing's coming from its own side, when in fact it's not. And that feeling is what makes us suffer. Because then we believe that the thing's coming from it and not from us. If we understood it was coming from us, we could change it. But since we think it's coming from its own side, we put up with pens that run out of ink. You know, we buy 10 and we hope that all of them work. And we keep getting more off the shelf. I have a shelf at home. I have 20 of these pens there. My friends steal them all the time. They come up with this Japanese, what's it called? Anyway, yeah, Le Pen. Japanese Le Pen. I was like, how many people have a Japanese Tokyo Le Pen? All my friends have them. I'm like, where'd you get that? You know? Like, I go to great lengths to get them because I can write, I can translate fast with them, you know? But anyway, why did I talk about it? Oh, yeah. So it's always a sensation or a feeling that the pen's coming from its own side, right? And that causes all our suffering. That adulterated perception of the pen, the adulteration part, is what causes all our suffering. Okay? It causes death itself. Wangi yunan chinang yang denba nangwe chu. And due to that infection of our senses, everything is appearing to us the wrong way. She sumbatar, as the first Panchen Lama has said, deta rangchak thamelpa namla daktam pumbo ri rawa kang kim sok che kan da kang nang yang kunzopin nangwa dan den nang jepin nangwa bashik chate chanditsam shik denba nang. To us normal people, right? Drang chak tamelpa nam. Us normal people, namna, dak, whether we're talking about me, pumbo, whether they're talking about my body and mind, rirawa, whether we're talking about the mountains, kang, whether we're talking about the buildings, kim, whether we're talking about the homes, etc. Che kan dan kang, every object in your world, every single object in your world, okay, from houses to people to everything. Kan dan kang, kun zop ki nangwa dan, conventional appearance to it. It's a pen. And then there's a not okay feeling that it's coming from itself. Okay? And they are always, what do you call it? They're always melted together. They're always, shucks. Now you can't give me words. You can just think them and send it to me, okay? They're always mixed up. Like a water and milk. Why do they say water and milk? Once you pour milk into water, try to separate it. Try to separate the water from the milk afterwards. Like, could you take the milk out of the water, please? You know? And it's almost impossible to separate the correct perception that it's a pen from the incorrect feeling that it's coming from itself is very difficult. And every perception you have is infected by the second. You see? They're always mixed with each other like milk and water. And to try to divide them is very difficult. Kpashi to chavat ditsam shi demba nangla ditsam shi demba minangla sergyu yewa mepal cha tam che ne demba nangwe na. So from the object's point of view, unfortunately, you can't say the top of the pen is appearing to me to come from its own side, but the base of the pen is not. It would be easier, right? Life would be easier. You just throw out the tops, you know? But he says, unfortunately, not only do you make this mistake with every object, you make this mistake with every detail of every object. Okay? It's not like the wheels of the car are exempt from you thinking they come from their own side, and the top of the car is not exempt from you thinking it's coming. Okay? You think every part of everything comes from its own side. So the problem is not just that you take everything around you to be coming from its own side. You take every part of everything around you to be coming from its own side. You don't get a break. Alright. So you never have anything in the whole world, in your life, that appears to you without being infected by that idea or that feeling that it's coming from its own side. I think we should do a little meditation. Let me think. Maybe one more sentence. Rang re nang lup di ga rang gakche nang su lam den dup ki nang su yin. So you don't have to go to any big philosophy texts and try to, you know, look up all these weird names like self-existent and, you know, you go to a Dalai Lama lecture, you know, the conventional reality of the consisting sub-object of the, you know, and you're like, whoa, you know, I wish I knew what they were talking about. But everything you're listening to, everything you're looking at, and the seat you're sitting in, you're having that feeling about them. So you don't have to worry about the lecture. Just think about the seat you're sitting in. And that's appearing to you as self-existent. Okay? Because you think it comes from its own side. That's what he's saying. He's saying just try to get in touch with the gakchas right around you all the time. And don't worry too much about these big book. Okay? And then you've covered the book. Okay? Alright. Dini rangso shagne shenshigna gakcha tsui nyawa chepa ni. Then he wants to talk about those people who fatigue themselves by trying to find some other gakcha. Okay? Instead of just taking the ones that are right around them, they go off to some philosophical camp and, you know, try to isolate some exotic gakcha. Okay? With a pen that's the gakcha. On a table that's the gakcha. Sitting in on their butt that's a gakcha. Okay, all right, and they're pouring through the books looking for the gakcha, you know, and the fingers they're using to turn the pages are the gakcha. Okay, got it. All right, let's meditate. Watch your breath.
go to the golden room? You can rest there, you can take your rest there, it's quiet. You don't have anything to do, relax. Enjoy the light, late afternoon, early evening. Look at the sky, enjoy the sky, blue, infinite. Across the valley to the mountain. Come back to the golden room. Feel the sunlight warm on your knees, thighs. And ask your heart teacher to come and sit with you. Try very hard. You can cut through agitation, you can cut through dullness if you go straight to Nara. Try very hard to just enjoy sitting quietly with your teacher. If you can get to that enjoyment or that contentment, you will have overcome agitation and dullness in one swoop. Be contented, be at peace, enjoy the silence, and just be with your teacher. Be aware of the warmth of their body. Make that your object for this session, the warmth emanating from their body on the front of your body. if you go off the object of the warmth of your teacher's body, then try to examine what's the typical way you go off. Is it that you think about a meal coming up, or you think about what's going to happen after the talk, or are you plans about next week? There will be a pattern, and then you can work on that pattern. You can put your watchfulness to watch for what's typical for you. Or are you losing your enjoyment of the object? Or are you just feeling tired? What's the typical way that you lose the object? Try to go back to the enjoyment, stay with the enjoyment, contentment of the quiet of the golden room. Take your sustenance from that quiet. And then come back slowly to this room. And then relax and open your eyes. We'll close with one more beautiful. This is a quotation from a lama named Chankya Rupa Dorje. And this is a line of lamas similar to the line of the Dalai Lamas called the Chankyas. And they were very, very close to China. They went to China, they taught in China. One of the Chankya Rinpoches was the personal lama of one of the emperors of China. And the author of this book, Pavolkar Rinpoche, it's said that he was actually one of the Chankya Rinpoches. But there were political tensions at the time. And his handlers were afraid to declare him the incarnation of Chankya Rinpoche. So he was declared to be the incarnation of a Rinpoche of a small monastery called Pavolk. So Pavolka. But in his own biography, you can read that he was always attracted to Chinese objects, like sedan chairs and things like that, and that he himself thought he was Chankya Rinpoche. So anyway, the Chankyas are really extraordinary lamas. Really, really extraordinary. Like yoga teachers to the emperors of China. Okay? And here's a quotation from him. From one of them. Tata Rangre
rangre yi lo sel gashik tata rangre yi lo sel gashik sutu demdu sok dala shene nawa lingling de rang sor shangne gakyu rachen shik tsul pan sikwa nangte dip del ama yishin dip del ama yishin re dena lang lang ling ling deyo kemen du nengak ma pikpe sheshe mangna ama gemo de tru dok duko. This is tough, okay? It's really hard. Tata rangre loi sagashik. There are those of among us who are clear-minded individuals. Tsuktup dendrup sok dala shene. But they get hung up on this emptiness lingo, okay? The emptiness terminology. They hear words like self-standing, or they heard words like existing in reality, okay? Shene, nangwa lingling, terang so shakne, gacha. They miss the gachas which are appearing to them all the time. And then they go looking for them in books. Okay? Gacha rachen shik tsowa nangte. He's being polite. He says, it would appear to me that they are seeking a gacha which has horns. And a tribe, you know? Even in Tibet, to say they're looking for a gyakcha that means horns means they're looking for a devil. They go looking for the devil when it's all around them all the time. Okay? They're looking for some demonic gyakcha as described in some heavy philosophical text. And they're sitting on a chair which is the gyakcha, and they have fingers which are gyakcha, and their own eyes are gyakcha. And, okay? All right. Chiken, dripta ama yishin re dena lang lang ling len de yoke min du. Dripta means, what do you call it? You can't tell me words anymore, this is bad. Dripta means, Jib means a shadow or an obstacle. Del means has been ripped away. So Dipdel means the revealed thing. Okay? Dipdel Ama means the mother, meaning reality. The mother naked the mother with the shadow ripped away is a word in Buddhism for emptiness. Okay? The mother of all things. Ama yi shire dena covering her face like a veil, covering the mother's face like a veil, is the lang lang lin lin de yo kemen du. Are all the gachas around us all the time? Okay, so the way everything around us appears all the time is veiling the beautiful face of the mother, which is emptiness. Okay, all right, and they don't get it. Okay, they came and do means they don't even they don't speak of that. Okay, came and do. Nengak ma pikpe sheshe mangda. Then they go off on explaining emptiness in these long lectures, without getting to the point. They miss the point. Nengak ma pik means they don't poke to the point. All right, ma pikpe sheshe mangda. Ama gemo de chu dok duko, and I'm afraid the mother got away. I'm afraid the mother has run from them. Tur means like to run from a soldier or something, you know, like to flee. I'm afraid the mother has fled from them. Okay? Because they're looking for emptiness in some heavy philosophical books, looking for the gacha in some heavy philosophical books, and they don't appreciate that it's appearing to them all the time. Okay? Everything they see, everything they interact with, every person they've ever met, every dish they ever ate, every poop they ever pooped, seem to be coming from its own side and not from the seeds in their own mind. Okay? So they are surrounded, they are swimming in gachas, and they go looking in some book for it, you know. And in the time they take to go look in a book, the veiled mother has decided to leave the room, which means they missed emptiness. Okay, they didn't get to emptiness. All right. There we go. She has so much to give. We have a danger of ending up the same way. She can name menga dang, nangi can sakchang sungjala tene, chashing zamban lu, shimmer tapa kelche. We'll stop there, okay? Chiken, what's a chik? You can't say. Chiken means an outer aid. Nangken means an inner aid. Okay, in tantra, the outer aid is your partner, and the inner aid is your meditations. Okay, in the open teachings, the outer aid is the instructions of your lama. Okay, and the inner aid is sakchang. Okay. Sakchang is an important principle. Sakchang means, sak means try to do good karma, new good karma. Jang means try to get rid of your old bad karma. Okay? So there are two supports or two aids which will assist you in your search for the gakcha. Okay? Why is the gakcha so important? If you can't identify, Shantideva. If you can't identify what emptiness is empty of, you'll never get to emptiness. So the first job is not to perceive emptiness. The first job is to perceive what it is that emptiness is empty of. The credit card that wasn't there. That was a discovery card anyway. Okay? All right? So, if you seek to see the gakcha, if you seek to understand the gakcha, you're going to need two things, an outer aid and an inner aid. The outer aid is your lama's teaching, that going to many teachings by your lama. So a lot of lamas would say it would take 3,000 hours of these kinds of teachings to get it. Okay, it's like flight time, right? I don't know. But anyway, somebody's logging how many hours you have in these kind of teachings. Okay, so that's the outer. Inside, you have to keep trying to pile up good karma and get rid of your bad karma. Okay? Or you'll never get it. You can sit in the room with 10 other people, and 10 of them will get it and one person won't. Okay, and it's not that the teaching was any different. It's the same words, same teaching, same text, same lama. X number of people got it, X number of people fell asleep. Okay, the ones who fell asleep have to sakchang. Okay, they have to try to collect new karma. They have to try to get rid of their old bad karma. Okay, because you could sit in the room, you can hear all the words, you can hear the same words in the same language, you can like the person saying the words, and just not get it. Okay, if you don't have enough good karma. So, I think the cheapest, dirtiest, easiest way to make good karma is rejoicing. Okay. Like, just think of people like His Holiness or people who are doing great things. And just be happy about them, you know? Oh, those guys are all trying to do a three retreat. I'm glad. Or all those schmucks went and built houses for a whole year. You know, they're kind of dumb, but anyway. No, I mean, they're all wrecks, right? But they're kind of cool. That was kind of cool that they did that, you know? And then you have to be happy about other people's good deeds. To me, is the fastest method of sakchang. You know, just be happy about other people who did cool stuff, and you get all these karmic seeds, and you don't have to do anything except be happy. And it means you don't have to go to Bowie, Arizona. Or, you know, you can just sit here and enjoy the weather, and you collect enough karma that the next time you come to a talk, you get it. Okay? Got it? All right. I like that everybody is really sick. Because that's very typical of an important event. If something is a life-changing thing is going to happen to you, there will come heavy, heavy obstacles. They will mass to people who are trying to have a breakthrough. You know, they, when you're about to have a breakthrough, then there's massive interest in you from the negative forces, spirits. And they'll do anything they can to get you sick or like that, you know, because it's very upsetting to them that they should lose someone who believed in cars and aspens for so long, you know, okay? So it's very, very, the quality of the event or the retreat is often judged by the number of obstacles, personal obstacles that plague the people who attend. So we're doing really good, I think. From, by that measure, we got almost everybody sick now. I think the people who aren't sick are going to start to feel inadequate. But don't worry, you'll catch up. Okay? But hang in there. And it's an honor to attract some attention of a demon. Usually we're just doing what they want, so they leave us alone, you know? They're very happy with your everyday behavior. So they don't do anything. They just let you do it. And then when you try to stick your head up, they see it, you know? Over 6 billion people, oh, here's 160 or 70 who are trying to get out of this mess. And then they all go boom, you know, like thousands of them come to you and make it snow, stuff like that, okay? So you also created them, right? Okay. Have a good night. Take care. I didn't go to a 4 o'clock schedule for tomorrow because I thought too many people are sick. So, or whatever. Maybe at 8 o'clock. But anyway, we'll do 9:15 when here, right? So try to get some rest. You don't have any excuse. You can't stay up all night talking. There's no TVs. There's no computers or cell phones. But so try just to go to bed. Okay. Ben Gami, you want to do?
Rila Vrishin Inde Gembali Sange Shindu Midde Uvali Yokunam Dakshinna Jupasho Yam Guru Ratna Mandala Kambi Adayami Yuvati
Okay, get some good rest. And hang in there. You're making a breakthrough and hang in there. Okay.